an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. Another great week in the Mile High City, or at least right next to it. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website, and Dr. Julie McCallan with Denver Cenogenics. Hey, want to say happy Mother's Day. Hope all the mothers out there had a happy Mother's Day. I know we did. And as it was a Mother's Day, we spent the majority of it at an outside basketball game freezing, but at least the Rockets won. So mm-hmm. all was, and then we came home and had cocktails and dinner. So it was a
there
perfect day. I hope everybody else
that's
had a great day too. No, hey, coming up at 3:30, we're going to have Representative Dave Williams to explain how the Democrats at the legislature are going to raise your gas taxes. I think the estimate was like it's going to come to
$2 billion.
Well, for per household, roughly $1,700 a year. Yeah, and once again, I mean,
right,
even
last.
Though we keep saying we want to vote on it, they're like, nope, we're going to do it anyway. And a similar thing is going on in Denver right now and Park Hill. And let's bring on our friend and social media influencer, Arash Masala. Hey, Arash. Good
Hey, Chuck. How are you guys? Happy Monday. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day to you.
All right. Thank you. So the reason it's similar is Denver voters, correct me if I'm wrong, Arash, but I think they had a vote where they said they did not want to have urban camping. And the city said, hey, that's cool, but we're going to have urban camping. And now we're going to put it in your neighborhood.
You always use their term, urban camping.
Well, I know. Homeless.
Exactly.
Homeless.
Our unhoused neighbors. Yeah.
That's right. So you've been on the show before and talked about it. They want to put it's a sanction camp, basically. Well,
they call it an SOS, a safe outdoor space. So these are what they call sanctioned tent cities a lack of a better word. I mean, you know me, I'm not politically correct. I mean, tent city homeless encampment. That's basically what it is. And what the city does, the city of Denver, is they partner with this charitable organization to go into church parking lots, basically, and put up one of these tent cities in a church parking lot. And in this case, it's happening in South Park Hill, two doors down from John Hickenlooper's house. No joke. You know, we've talked about it before. And without any community or stakeholder process. So that is basically what this SOS is.
Now, it seems to me that, I mean, it'd be like if Chuck and I up here in Westminster said, you know what? We're going to put a giant homeless encampment in our backyard. It seems like that would violate some zoning laws.
You would think that, yes. So that leads us to the next point. So last week, this is the update from the do-gooder organization. They call themselves
CVC.
Colorado Village Collaborative, CVC. So last week, they filed their permit requests for the project. Now, since you and I last spoke, originally it was going to be 45 tents and 50 people. 45 tents, 50 people. But now they've actually brought that down, surprisingly. So now it's 33 tents and 40 people.
And let's clarify, though, because number one, if I understand it correctly, I think the CVC group has already been awarded roughly $1 million by the city
more,
of Denver.
More than that.
Yeah, more. So they're highly.
This taxpayer money is basically what it is. And so you have that. Now, here's just the latest here, because we're going to get to the lawsuit in just a moment. But also, they claim to have 24/7 staffing. Okay. Quote, a prohibition on drugs and alcohol. How are we going to really enforce that?
Right. Well, I think they flat out say they're not going to enforce that. They're not going to deny somebody entrance. They're not going to search bags. We've been reading stories about the Denver Fire Department finding propane tanks exploding on fire, and they're not using them for heat. They're using them to make meth.
It's right here in South Park Hill. It's going to happen unless this lawsuit goes through. And if it happens in this neighborhood, it can happen in any neighborhood. But here's the other good point. They have plans to screen out sex offenders and those convicted of violent crimes within the past 5 years.
And how are they going to do that, right? If you are they just going to ask them? Or
there are no details. It's just very beautifully written. You know, this is the actual update from the executive director of this charitable group. Okay. And those convicted of violent crimes within 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so you commit a violent rape 6 years ago. Okay, you can get in here, but 5 year cutoff, oh, you can't.
Well, and that's kind of stupid anyway, because if you've committed a violent crime in the previous 5 years, there's a pretty good chance you're probably still in prison, right?
Right.
And so the only violent criminals wandering around out there, of course, you know, with all the criminal justice reform, who knows, that could be. Well, I take it then, Arash, people in your neighborhood are not buying this. I mean, they're overwhelmed.
Well, some are.
Well,
that's the other thing. You know, a lot of people are very vocally in support of this. You know, all you have to do is go to the Park Hill Facebook page for the community. You know, every neighborhood has, you know, their little community site on Facebook. And, you know, they already have sign-up sheets for, you know, baking cookies. Let's have spaghetti night. Let's get our kids involved, you know, to make this like the shining beacon of what an SOS can look like in the city. And let's be an example. You know, I said it before, you know, Park Hill, it's like the bastion of democratic liberal politics here in the state. You know, it is karmic justice for this to go right down the block from John Hickenlooper's house. And no one wants to speak up about it publicly. Everybody will, you know, complain about this behind the scenes. But when it comes to actually going out on TV, on the radio, wherever, and making a think about this, no one wants to do it. And that is why, you know, this is going to probably go through, because CBC can say, well, you know, it's just a vocal minority who's against this.
Right.
But they're trying to spin it that way. So, you know, that's why there's this lawsuit. Five residents here who live in the neighborhood. In fact, one of them ran against Chris Herndon for city council.
Ah.
She lives literally across the street from where this tent city is going to go. Ironically, she's one of the plaintiffs, Blair Taylor, I believe her name is.
Okay.
You know, she lose to Chris Herndon. And, you know, basically this lawsuit says, in my mind, what is common sense, this is going to be a danger to the children, preschool children who are at that church where this homeless encampment.
Well, tell us about the lawsuit.
Yeah, I mean, because there's actually several schools around the lawsuit, around this, where this is going to be.
Several schools. I mean, the whole neighborhood is single family homes. The lawsuit talks about the fact that kids are going to be put in danger. It also talks about how there was no neighborhood review of this whole process. It also names the city and county of Denver as a defendant for, you know, kind of circumnavigating the, like,
their own rules.
What the rules should be because of the COVID crisis. So they're still milking the COVID crisis now for emergency help for the homeless. And also the pastor himself, he's the only person by name, the only individual who is also listed as a defendant. I mean, I'm no lawyer, but I mean, I don't know. I was going over the lawsuit with, you know, my husband, Ted Trimpa, who is a lawyer. You know, he doesn't practice every day, but he was kind of not giving me a lot of hope. You know, he was saying very high bar to reach for eminent kids. So I don't know what you guys think.
We'll get that in a second, but I want to point out, because I think this is important for people to realize, and that is, number one, this isn't really a not in my backyard thing, as if this was something that had to go somewhere. This is something the citizens of Denver have explicitly voted and said, we don't want these here. These homeless camps, they don't have to go anywhere. I mean, what do people think? If we start building it, they will come, right? It's like, if you put it there, there's going to be more. We're not doing anyone any good with this. There doesn't have to be an encampment anywhere.
It doesn't, you're right. It doesn't have to be this way, but they make it seem like this is the only option.
Right. Right.
They couldn't figure it out for the 10-year road home plan. And now all of a sudden they're saying, you know, residents in Park Hill, you know, it, like, stop you know, bitching about it and come up with solutions. Okay, well, you know, it's not our job as citizens here to come up with the solutions. You know, you are the government, you're the city of Denver, you have these plans, you figure it out instead of putting it right here without any stakeholder process at all. But no one wants to say that. Everybody is all like walking on eggshells. Everyone is woke. You know, they don't want to come across as being callous and not wanting to help our fellow man.
Wait till this could happen to their property values. Can you imagine if poor Blair Taylor, let's say she decides, oh, I want to sell my house, right? And then for sale sign, and you drive up. I mean, no one's going to say it, but then you see the homeless. I mean, I was across from one of these encampments, so I was working on a story for the newspaper. And so the encampment itself is kind of fenced in and you can't see in, but the place was filled with people who were drunk, they were high, the cops were there. I mean, just right outside of it. So, right. I mean, that's going to destroy property values, I would think, in that whole area.
Exactly. And like you said, build it and they will come. You know, this actual so-called sanctioned site, you know, only has a few dozen people. Sure, that's one eyesore there. But then the word gets out. People will start moving in with their tents. Ironically, today on my way home from work, I was driving down 17th Avenue on my way home. No joke. There was already one tent right there in the middle of 17th Avenue. You're driving, let's say, east on 17th. There's already a tent there today. Popped up out of the blue. It was there this morning. Was still there this afternoon when I got home.
And there'll be three by Monday. Well, Chuck, you're the lawyer, so weigh in on the...
Do I get to talk?
You get to talk. No, sorry.
I didn't know it was part of this program.
Yes.
Let Chuck...
Go ahead, Julie. Just keep on dominating everything.
Chuck, be pleasant. Go ahead.
I'm curious about you because you're the lawyer here among us. So what are your thoughts when you read it?
I thought it was a strangely drafted complaint. I think the gravamen you're sued is a private claim of nuisance. Although it makes no citation to that there is such a cause of action in Colorado and some case recognizing a private cause of nuisance. So I thought that was strange. It complains about the process, saying no public review, only one city official approves it, no public input, all the other things. But it doesn't claim that the statute's illegal or unconstitutional. It just indicates what it considers flaws in it, but that doesn't result in a claim that it's an illegal statute for failure to provide notice and other things. It just claims them and then lets it go.
When I was reading it, I'm no lawyer, but it sounded like they were just trying to throw anything that could possibly stick to try to see what could possibly get in there to stop it from happening. Is that what you thought? That's what Ted thought.
They made a lot of claims.
Yeah.
And I think all the claims are probably valid, but causes of action. Okay, kitties are in danger. Well, what does that violate? I mean, lots of things to put kitties in danger. But what does it violate?
So you're giving me no hope, Chuck.
No, Julie.
All right, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
It's just very strangely pled. I thought it didn't really get down to saying. And because of that, this violates this, and this violates that, and this violates that. I guess the gravamen is a nuisance. You're claiming what they're putting out there is a nuisance, and you're asking it to be enjoined. And that's...
Well,
and a conspiracy,
I mean, from the city, Teresa Marchetta with the mayor's office, and they basically said they stand with... the Colorado Village Collaborative, and it's going to take a whole of city approach. So, I mean, we're not counting on Hancock's office to do anything. I mean, he's already botched this whole.
No, they're not going to, but to the court, you got to tell the judge, okay, violating this law or this common law right or something else, or this statute, which is adopted, is unconstitutionally illegal for failure to give notice to residents or whatever else. It just makes claims and then ask for an injunction. A complaint doesn't have to be a brief. But I think this basic one, this is a private nuisance. It's not a public nuisance, it's a private nuisance, and you ought to enjoin its use. That still comes through. But the courts are controlled by the woke people as well as the government.
I was going to say, the Denver courts have not been particularly nice. Helpful to Denver neighborhoods in general across the board.
They hate the residents.
Raj, as you said, some sort of karmic justice, because of your neighbors who are too afraid to speak out, right? And I'm imagining you're getting haters trolling you and things like that. You know, but once this starts, I'm going to guess come September or, you know, August, when there's like a million tents and there's drug dealers and there's cops being called constantly because, you know, the calls for service at these places are huge.
Just call the cops. Call the cops if you have a problem. Call the cops. Yeah, like that's going to really work. And, you know, maybe that's what we have to do at the end of the day.
Right.
You know, we're going to be a thorn in their side. I mean,
if you're a cop right now, man, I mean, because I think the cops are technically sort of enjoined from even going into these places. And, you know, and Jacob makes a good point here. He says his Experian report has more sex offender notification than the city site, right? So, you know, they talk about they're going to screen all this. You know, I hope these woke people, they're going to be woke, but not in a, they think they're woke, but they're not. They've got their heads in the sand, I would say, and they're going to find out the hard way.
And if it could happen here, it could happen in any neighborhood too. So maybe a lot of your listeners and viewers are wondering, you know, it's just South Park Hill, fine. But, you know, if this is a success here, and who's to say what a success is, you know, one overdose death instead of five,
right.
One kid getting snatched off the street instead of two. I mean, seriously,
right.
If it could here, it could happen in any neighborhood in the city and county of Denver.
Well, a success, and Sandra makes a good point here, you know, it's all about the money. A success is the CVC continuing to get millions of dollars from the city of Denver, right?
Paying salary and administrative and everything else.
Right.
We're very happy. Sandra wanted to know it was filed in federal state court. State court because of the state court claims.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess now it's just a wait and see once this goes before the judge and see what happens out of that. But it seems like this is just the last ditch effort at this point because, you know, people, you know, sadly are just not as vocally opposed to it as those who are in favor of it.
Right.
And I don't think you guys, because they're afraid and... Yeah.
You guys need to liberate Hickenlooper's pool. Bring people over to Hickenlooper's pool. Say, this is a man who promises no homelessness. Have a dip in the pool.
It's the summertime. Have a pool party. Have a barbecue. You know, walking distance.
Yeah.
They're not going to be enclosed in, you know, I mean, free to come and go.
Right.
They ought to spend their whole day. Hickenlooper will be terrified to call the police.
Well, he won't be there, yeah.
And he'll be in Washington. So open up the house, open up the pool, open up the cupboards.
Have a barbecue, basically, a block party.
And burn the house down.
Yeah. So you're screwed, in other words, Arash. I'm sorry.
You're screwed.
Yeah, out of all of this whole segment here with you guys, I think we're screwed, basically. But I mean, still, I'll be talking about it. I'll still be talking against it. I mean, just because, you know, it looks like it'll happen unless, you know, like we get a judge that rules in our favor. You know, I mean, it's going to happen, but I mean, we still have to be vocal about it and, you know, spread the word that if it could happen here, it could happen into Bonnie Bray.
Your neighborhood soon. Yeah,
exactly. No, Arash, you're right. And thank you for your courage for speaking out because I know it's probably not easy there. But you're right. I mean, I predict, like I said, in a few months, you're going to have all these people going, you know, Arash, you were right. You know, and here's the thing, elections have consequences. Maybe next time everybody won't vote for Chris Herndon so much.
We love Chris.
One can hope, right? I mean, one can hope.
All right. Arash, where can people follow you and find out more and to help support you?
And our hospital bills in case you slit your wrist tonight.
Yeah.
It was always great being here, you guys.
Yeah.
Good seeing you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Everybody follow him. It's at Arash Masala. That's MOSALEH, right?
You got it. Arash Masala, Twitter and Parlor now. So there you go.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Thank you, Arash. Have a great rest of your day.
Take care, Arash.
You guys. Take care.
This is from Mark. If they can get away with this, and they will pop up everywhere in Denver. This is going to go faster than Starbucks did.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Well, it's going to be, again, a mess. I mean, these things always are a mess. And it's going to be bad. Well, yeah. And they'll all find out the hard way. And so, we wanted to briefly talk, though, about wokeness before we get, there's so much to talk about today. I don't know. If you guys, I'm not a giant Bill Maher fan at all. In fact, I rarely watch him. So I was kind of browsing through various websites. Although this is happening, he was complaining that the Republicans are now the fun party and the Democrats, in his words, and apologize for language here, suck. He's like, all we do is we're crabby, which is true, right? Democrats are crabby. They're not happy. They're the cancel culture, et cetera, et cetera. And wanted to talk about that a second because there is reason for hope. We always like to give hope on this show. Thomas, if you could please play the Bill Maher soundbite.
We need to restore the natural order of things. I don't want to live in a world where liberals are the uptight ones and conservatives do drugs and get laid. Once upon a time, the right were the ones offended by everything. They were the party of speech codes and blacklists and moral panics and demanding some TV show had to go. Well, now that's us. We're the fun suckers now. We suck the fun out of everything. Halloween, the Oscars, childhood, Twitter, comedy. It's like woke kids on campus decided to be all the worst parts of a Southern Baptist.
That's true. It is true. You got to wonder, why is anyone a Democrat these days?
I think I pointed out before that there were a lot of males who liked the Democratic Party because they thought they could get away with whatever they wanted to do. And now they're
not anymore.
So well, I think that is one group of young males, 18 to 40, that I think, I haven't seen any polls that demonstrate it.
It's going to be a bunch of crabby, bossy people running the Democratic Party. Well, here's the good news, though. NBC has dumped the 2022 Golden Globe Award because the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is not woke enough. Now, they apparently just discovered this. Hollywood Press Association's been around forever. But apparently NBC, I can't imagine that it has anything to do with the ratings plummeting, Chuck. I can't imagine that's a thing. No, but they don't have enough, I guess, African-American, black
Yes, that's true, because all you need to be to the Hollywood, it is started out by people sent over from, say, the Times of London to cover Hollywood, and you have these foreign correspondents here in Hollywood and say, hey, let's go get together, and put this award thing in, just like birds flying together and stuff. And now eventually became, because nobody's actually going to send a correspondent to Hollywood anymore, that if you wrote for foreign publications, there's four articles a year, anywhere, anything, the Ghana Press. Anything,
could be your own, right? Yeah, your own website.
You had to be part of the Motion Picture Association.
Okay.
And so a grand total of 87 people qualified for that. Now, they don't want a big group because they get $60 million from NBC. They got to run the show, of course, and other stuff. But they give a couple million away to some charity. That leaves a lot for the 87 people to divide up and have fun with.
But not this year. NBC is like, hey, we're not going to carry it because you people are not diverse enough. So
there aren't any people probably writing for foreign press about Hollywood. So,
That'll teach them.
That'll teach them. So in their naivete and stupidity, they thought, okay, fine. We'll allow 13 more members will go up from 87 to 100, and they all have to be black. Every last one of them has to be a person of color. And everyone,
Not enough.
What about the trannies? What about the LGBTQ people? What about this? What about just adding 13 black guys and girls who get to go on the gravy train ain't enough. We want a whole revamping of everything.
Whether they can write or not, whether they have any kind of journalistic skills or know anything about the movies, no.
No, we got to make this another liberal honeypot of tons of money. And once you do that in a couple of years, you turn it so you don't have any white males left in your group or Asians either,
Right.
Then we'll maybe do it. But, Americans all across the country are just so upset. Oh, no. We're not losing the Golden Globes. We love those guys so much.
Right.
It's hilarious.
Well, and then here's the other good thing about it, though. Here's the good thing. I'm going to talk about Matt Gaetz a little bit. This is a story in the Washington Examiner. And here we'll get to, we got great comments. I'll get to them in a second. So somebody did a poll of the district where Matt Gaetz is from in Florida, right, Chuck? He has, in spite of all of this publicity with these, what appear to me to be increasingly phony, I don't even want to call them allegations. Like, Matt Gaetz was at a party there where there was drugs and sex. I mean, no allegation that he's done it, no women have come forward, anything like that. It's all just, but at any rate, in spite of all of that, and MSNBC, CNN, everybody's been hammering this, right? He still has a net approval rating. 43.8% approve of him, 26% are unsure, 24% disapprove of him. And then when asked if they believe the allegations, the majority of the people said they were aware of them, right? Out of that, though, only 20% said yes, they believe the allegations. Out of that, 35% said no, and 45% said unsure. And that includes a lot of Democrats. And then this is really telling, I thought. They asked then, the people taking the survey, if they trust the media to report the news accurately. 72% said not at all or not very much. Only 7% said they trusted the media.
So the deep state, which is the FBI and the Department of Justice and all sorts of, decide they're going to do a Jack Johnson on Matt Gaetz. Jack Johnson was the heavyweight fighter who beat the Great White Hope. And so the Justice Department of the day decided they'd go get him.
Right.
And so they said, aha, you crossed state lines. The girl, it was 17 or 18 or something. And that was for immoral purposes because you wanted to kiss her, of course. And therefore, you were convicted under the White Slavery Act. And in fact, President Trump just gave him a pardon from those convictions. Not that it did Jack a whole lot of good. But so then they said, okay, we can't have Jack. We're going to get Matt Gaetz. And so they basically leaked, which is illegal and wrongful and all those things, not that they care, these purported investigation into Matt Gaetz, claiming he traveled across state lines with an underage girl. And though it seems to be didn't travel across.
Well, he says there is no such girl. He says it never even happened. Yeah,
it's the same 17-year-old Jack Johnson since he's 120 now.
Well, here's the thing.
And then there were parties where people took drugs and had sex. Now, is there anybody in the world left who wasn't at some party somewhere where someone took some drugs and they were kissing each other? Yeah. I mean, probably.
Anyone
probably
that's going to be the Democrats. That's what a Democrat party is
going
to be.
So they keep
like
on
anymore.
Saying, Matt Gaetz, Matt Gaetz. And now they can, oh, this is just so much. Do you believe the allegation? You go, what allegations? What are the allegations?
Well, and people don't.
What are the allegations they did? There are no specific allegations.
No, and people,
they're just, you know, Matt Gaetz is a bad guy.
Right.
Because we told you he's a bad guy.
People are not buying it. Their wokeness
is... In fact, he's going around the country with Marjorie Greene and with a Make America Great rally. And if they had one come to Denver, I'd certainly go.
Well, yeah. It's like, and so here's some comments. Jacob is talking about, oh, this is a different subject, Jacob. We could talk about this. Actually, it's interesting. A townhome burning down and they were so close together. So maybe the planning department should revisit how close they are allowed to build to each other. And then Sandra, again, everything the Democrats destroy, they destroy everything they touch. And when
that's
they get
true.
Their way, they're never satisfied. Mm-hmm. I.e. abortion, now it's kill newborns. I'm flipping tired of their axes. We need to stop them. All conservatives want is to be happy and live their lives and get the government out of their lives.
No, that is not true. Not all conservatives do we know. Liz Cheney
says
she's a true conservative who represents all of us.
That's
and
right.
She wrote in the Washington Post, where all conservatives write, of course.
Right.
It's their publication of record, says that, are we going to have fidelity to our Constitution?
And so she's going to be ousted. I think Kevin McCarthy wrote a letter today saying they would be voting on her ouster on Wednesday. You know, here's the thing.
I hope they have a public vote this time.
Right. But here, and where do these people, we've talked about this before for just a couple minutes before we get to Dave Williams. The people who are these never Trumpers and the Liz Cheneys and even the Democrats, they all get it mixed up. They think that there was Trump came along and then all of these people said, oh, I think that's a good idea. I'm going to follow him. It was exactly the opposite. You had millions of people quietly, as Sandra said, living their lives, trying to get government out of their lives. And Trump came along and he expressed these ideas, then he actually started doing something about it. And that's why people follow Trump. So Liz Cheney is, she's mistaken if she thinks people are going to turn from Trump. It's not so much they're going to turn from Trump. People are not going to turn away from what they know to be true.
Trump turned to them. Right. Trump did not start out as a pro-Second Amendment person. He lived in New York and had kind of conventional views of New York as own guns. He certainly didn't end up start out pro-life.
Right.
He was, I think, from the beginning, a believer that, our trade deals were god-awful and,
right.
and were terrible. And I think he felt that China was an awful, or you know, was really raping us economically.
Right.
Climate change, he was probably a believer in the bullshit. And all the rest, but he kind of said, wait a minute, you know, okay, this is what the people want. And pretty soon he did, as opposed to people who run, say, I believe in smaller
and limited
right. government. And then you have, then, you know, I believe in less deficits and everything else. And like George W. Bush, you just blow the budget. You just have, you know, Medicare Plan D and everything else. They do just the opposite of what they promised.
Trump
to be
did
running.
Exactly what he, and people were so shocked by it.
I was shocked by it. I mean, I remember talking to somebody, one of our post-2016 victory ones, and said, what do you expect Trump to do? I said, I expect him to betray everyone like all Republicans do.
But he did not, yeah.
And that is why he is popular.
Right.
And also, that he just cannot stand them. He can't stand the press anymore. He can't stand the White House core, all of those jerks. And we hate them now.
I mean, right. Well, no, we do. And the more they try to shove this wokeness down our throats, the more it backfires. And I think, again, you got Bill Maher saying, we're just the crabby, unfun. We can't do anything. And so people are, that's what gives me hope. People are, Dave, thank you from Thomas. I tried the number for Dave Williams and got an answer machine. Yeah, he is actually doing legislation right now, so I can see where he might be busy. We wanted to talk to him about this transportation bill that's going on up at the state capitol. You might all remember how, like, we have Tabor, which they have to ask voters permission to raise taxes. Well, they started going around that with fees.
And then they did a law limiting fees, and then they came with legislation that went around the fees,
right.
the fee limitations.
And it's going to result in massive gas prices.
Oh,
gas
massive. $1,700 a person and additional fees and costs. And how much do you think will really go to roads?
None. It'll go to roads. It'll go to homeless encampments. Just a thought, if they're going to put it into something, I'm sure you guys have been following the Colonial Pipeline cyber attack. Now, number one, I don't for a second believe that it was Russia. And you know why I don't believe that? Because the FBI says it.
Yes,
okay, if the FBI says it's Russia,
it's not
Russia. Okay, if the FBI, first of all, if the FBI, why did they stop it? Just call me crazy. It seems like the pipeline that supplies the fuel to 45% of the, you know, the East Coast. So I don't know. Call me crazy. Maybe they should have been protecting that a little bit better, FBI guys.
Well, did you read?
I guess it'd be China or something. I mean,
what did you read today that apparently it came out that, you know, we all wondered why doesn't Trump just get rid of Ray? I mean, just get rid of him. He's
FBI director Ray.
FBI director. Now we find out that he threatened to last spring. And Barr said he would resign in protest.
So
I mean, he from the day one when he got in there, he's been surrounded by snakes.
Can you imagine?
He replaces people with other people because Comey raked him, and then they're just the rottenness
snakes.
of all of them. And to show you the rottenness here in Colorado, there's only one thing, I think, that every Republican will say he backs, and that is Tabor. It's the only thing that the rhinos will go, oh, I can eat Tabor. And so what happens? Oh, Kevin Priola, who at the Independence Center said, we've got to support Kevin. He's our guy.
Theoretically a Republican.
Yeah.
Sure. Right.
And of course, your favorite, John Southers down in Southern Colorado. Oh, he's a rock hard, rock bottom conservative. And oh, we're too late. And of course, Mike the Man Cop. Now, you may not know Mike the Man Cop, but Mike the Man Cop was a former minority leader for Republicans in the state Senate for about 4 or 5 years. And now he's part of Common Concern.
Colorado Concern.
Colorado Concern. which is out for the common good.
Right. Yeah. No, it's about it's left-wing, all the left-wing rich people. Farms,
you know, yeah. Brownstein lawyers. And
it is. It's like, you look at this special.
Hey, all for this, you know. It's just being the conservative businessman, he knows that violating all the laws and getting around is a thing we all need
well,
to do.
Well, and here's a depressing thing, and this kind of, we'll maybe go ahead and segue into this, because I don't think, we don't have Dave Williams yet. But here's, I believe, the sad thing about what's going on, and this is why the election integrity is so crucial, okay? People now understand, you've got the Denver City Council and the mayor's office going totally against the voters' wishes, but with these homeless encampments. And that's just one item, right? You've got the Colorado legislature going totally against the people's wishes with this essentially.
Well, even in a vote, they said, okay, tell you what, we'll do some road work if you approve a new tax. And they said,
no.
They go, oh, okay, well, then we'll just figure a way to screw you.
And then they said, we'll do fees. And people said, okay, no fees. But the reason, guys, that they don't care about that anymore is that they understand the individual person and the individual vote, particularly in Colorado and soon the rest of the country, are a thing of the past. That is so 2016, right? Or maybe 2012. It doesn't work that way anymore. You look at the election rigging that is going on, and you understand that if you're running for office, the voters are the least of your concern. You don't even need to worry about voters anymore. You just need
That's
to worry.
So passive.
Yeah, voters
That's
are
so
like I
19th
say, so yesterday.
Century.
Oh, and we've got Dave Williams on.
Hey, Dave.
Hey,
Thank
Dave.
You. This is Representative Dave Williams, hey. One of the good guys.
Yeah.
And there are not all that many in the Republican Party in Colorado these days, but he's a good one. So we've been reading, and I guess it was from the Independence Institute, but published in Complete Colorado, a nice breakdown of how the statute managed to not only get around Tabor, but get around the
Prop 117,
and I didn't get around anything else we ever put out.
Basically, to raise our taxes for transportation, right?
Just a little,
right. I mean, if there's a will, there's a way, right? Regardless of what the Constitution says, regardless of what the voters want, Democrats will find a way to take money from your wallet,
right? What is, do you, I mean, I was reading I guess it was a speculation or an extrapolation that figured that this transportation tax and the gasoline tax could cost the average household as much as $1,700 a year. Is that right? That seems like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that too, but we really do not know what the impact is going to be to families or our economy here in Colorado. We're still digesting it. It's 197 pages right now.
And 197? Excellent. Oh, how beautiful.
They dropped this, obviously, at the 11th hour. We only probably have about a month left of the session. We still have a lot of other bills that we got to get through, such as the gun bills that they're bringing forward, in addition to this gas tax bill. And, oh, by the way, the federal government just came out with their guidelines on how states can spend the stimulus money that's coming our way. So that's throwing another...
Well, those guidelines say you have to give it to libtard organizations and their members, especially those who advocate killing small children. I'm sure the guidelines are very,
very
rigorous
specific.
Of common good.
Right.
And that's for everyone.
Right.
Well,
the point is... Go ahead. No, I'm just, the point is that this is done on purpose. A lot of the major bills that the Democrats want to pass, they're throwing it all towards the end of the session, so no one has enough time to really point out the problems that are inherent in the bill. And it's just this fly-by-night rush job, and it only hurts Colorado.
Right.
Well, that's what the Democratic Party is there for.
Right. And to not have fun anymore.
And not to have fun anymore. Well, let me ask you this. You and I are members of the Executive Committee of the Republican Party. What about we sponsor a resolution condemning, Senate Bill, what is it?
260?
Senate Bill 260, Mike Kopp.
Kevin Priola. Censor him. And John Southers.
Well, we might as well take a stand for something.
It might be fun, James.
Stand for something. Let him answer.
I am.
Well, look, I have no problem, you know, condemning this bill or even calling out Republicans that are, you know, supporting it. I mean, that's, you know, that's my brand. That's certainly, I've never had that problem. You know that as well as all the other listeners that even know me. But that's going to be a tall order because, you know, the party does have people in it that do kind of support these things. And that's unfortunate because
I think that's okay. Let's identify.
Yeah.
Let's have a public vote, not the secret ballot, not the secret weekend, but hide it behind the Democrats might find out. Have an actual vote where you take a stand.
Yeah.
An actual vote where you take a stand. And so we all can know there are 24 members of the Republican Committee, and you can know whether they are patriots, decent, honorable people, or bottom-dwelling scum. And we might as well know that. And if it fails, then people can look at the Republican Party going, you have a majority of bottom-dwelling scum. And then we'll bring it to the state central committee, and I have a feeling that we'll have a different one, just like they went against the recommendation by the central committee on the El Paso election. I have a feeling that if the executive committee actually stood for something. I mean, this would be new.
Well, it seems
this would be a brand new, never been done before, Republican Party actually standing for something.
Because you have a good point, because, David, it seems to me this should be a no-brainer for any Republican or even Colorado legislature, because, again, the citizens have been clear on this. They don't want the lawmakers going around Tabor. They don't want to have them hiding it behind fees, so-called. And so if you're a Republican, this should be a no-brainer. It should be pretty – what do you think? It should be pretty easy to come out and say, I support Tabor. I'm opposed to any kind of end run around Tabor. I support Prop 117. I'm opposed to any effort to go around it, and therefore I'm against this transportation bill.
And I condemn any Republican that is supporting it. I mean, if the Republican Party can't do that.
I actually think you're going to have most Republicans in the legislature oppose this, notwithstanding, of course, you know, Kevin Priola, and I think he's probably the only Republican legislator, but in El Paso County, because John Southers jumped on the deal, there was a statement that was put out by Jeff Crank. Jeff Crank used to be with AFP, and now he has his own radio program on Saturday mornings. I mean, he put out a pretty strong statement and asked pretty much all the elected officials who were not named John Southers to get onto that statement and pointed out how, you know, there was this disconnect. There was a problem here. Why are these set of Republicans supporting this when all the other elected leaders in El Paso are against it? So, I, Chuck, I think there's an appetite for it. I'm not opposed to any doing anything like that, because I think the Republican Party, mainly the base and the rank and file members, want us to stand up and fight and call a spade a spade. This is a tax and spend monstrosity that violates the will of the voters on so many different levels.
Let me, and Dave, just so we can clarify, because that's a good idea. Maybe now you've got Chuck and his band of merry rebels are going to have a new cause. But what explain to folks, again, from the 197 pages that I'm sure were written by lobbyists who are going to make money off of this. There's a gas tax hike. There's all kinds of fees in there. How are they going to get more money from us out of this?
Through the imposition of fees. I mean, obviously the voters passed that constitutional provision that if we're going to increase fees and it increases so much revenue over 5 years, then we have to ask the voters. Well, they figure out a way to break it up into three different enterprises, and so as to avoid having to ask the question of the voters, number one. Number two, they're discussing a revenue increase. And, you know, constitutionally, if you look at how we're supposed to handle that's got to go through the people's house, meaning the House of Representatives first, not the Senate. And there's for good reason, you know, that we're the ones that are closest to the voters, and it mirrors, you know, what we have on the federal level, right? No tax increases, no revenue schemes are supposed to go, you know, through any chamber but the House first. That's clearly not happening because it's a Senate bill. They're mandating they're mandating this kind of mandate that, you know, most, if not all, the fleet vehicles are in the state are going to convert to electric. Okay, well, that doesn't make any sense. So your state patrol is they're going to be, I guess, Teslas. I don't know. I'm still getting through all the nonsense on this one, but it's multimodal.
They're going to make us. Wait, this is funny from Leo. Leo is texting us, Dave. I think there's a fee you have to pay to voice your support for Tabor. Yeah, it's absolutely.
Let me speak to it. There is a method to my madness. I really am tired of Republicans betraying the party and then lapping up the praise from the Denver Post, Colorado Politics, all the rest of them. I think there has to be pushback when Republicans act just like Democrats and act as tools of Democrats. And the Republican Central Committee, or at least the Executive Committee of the State Central Committee, condemns them. There's a price to pay. So next time, maybe John Suthers will come down.
This isn't crazy, right? I mean, how many central committees across the nation condemned those who voted to impeach President Trump? I mean, this isn't crazy, right? We should call out, you know, individuals that are doing things that are absolutely contrary, you know, to our principles and the Constitution. Chuck, hey, preach it. That's what I'd say. Okay. If we want to do that, let's go do it. I think ultimately what hurts us here is when Republicans jump onto what's clearly an attempt by the governor to try and boost his reelection efforts. This bill, along with the stimulus bills, all the other crazy things that he's trying to pass, are really nothing more than taxpayer-funded PR stunts. And then you have, you know, Republicans either knowingly and unknowingly jump onto this stuff, and it gives the governor more of an opportunity to lie to the voters on how he's working for them. And in fact, he's not. All he's doing is helping out his buddies and his special interest groups.
Exactly. I mean, that's a reason my cop is involved in all this. Well, yeah, and it's not as if Polis needs a lot of help getting reelected. I mean, you know, he's got millions anyway. Well, you know, thank goodness for people like you that were willing to come out and say, and you do it politely, right? You're not attacking anybody. You're just saying, I think if you're a Republican, you should stand up for this. And Chuck, that's not a bad idea to let people, you know, show their cards, basically.
Show their cards. Well, let's see who thinks that Tabor ought to be avoided.
Right. Or the Prop 17 was just
a joke.
It was just a guideline.
We just put it up there to satisfy the crazies, as Peter would call them, for a day or two. But we know how to get around everything. Voter laws, we know how to get around that. You think the same people who would gut Tabor, who would gut voted for all the people, wouldn't figure out ways to gut your right to vote and get around it with ballot harvesting and same-day registration and everything else? I mean, they're rotten, amoral, and criminals. And we play this polite game of going, oh, it's got bipartisan support. You know, Mike Kopp, former minority leader of the Senate and head of a nice business group called Colorado Concern. You know, he's working hard for you folks. Yes, he is. You know, it's the Republicans that destroy us in this state.
But not Republicans like Dave.
Well, thank God for people like Dave and for Patrick and...
Dave, let me read this to you because I want to clarify. This is from Jacob. Why not put up toll roads? The Denver Boulder Turnpike was built with tolls. When the road was paid for, the tolls were removed. Because Jacob... that's such a sweet notion. This has nothing to do with actually building roads. This has everything to do, Dave, doesn't it, with raising taxes, implementing another agenda.
Yeah.
The whole
point of this transportation bill is to actually discourage you from using your own vehicle on the roads. They want you to do anything but that. They want you to take a bus. They want you to take public transit. They want you to, if you're going to drive, they want you to carpool. If you're going to drive, it needs to be an electrical vehicle, right? They don't want you using traditional combustion engines you know, to go about your business. This is not a it's actually very deceptive. This is not a transportation bill. This is a bill designed to essentially destroy your commute and hold it hostage.
Right, and tax it out the wazoo. I mean, gas. I mean, look at what did they fill? You know, $3 to, you know, a gallon. Right now, they want to tax it even more. So I think that's the problem, Jake. If it were as nice as, and that's where Republicans buy into it. If it were the idea were to actually build roads, then great, right? We'd all be happy to maybe help at least look at it. But they don't. That it has nothing to do with that. And Dave, thank you for pointing that out, because I think that's what we got to keep hammering home. As you said, this is not a transportation bill. It's an anti-transportation bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gas tax bill. It's a tax on everything. And by the way, I mean, why people impose taxes to try and get people not to do things, right? This is why they keep taxing cigarettes, right? They don't want you to engage in the behavior. Same principle here. They don't want you to actually drive on the roads. They want you to carpool or get onto a bus.
Just stay at home with your mask.
You know, whatever.
Just remain at home with a mask, and you'll be all set.
Right.
Final question, Dave. Anything else this week? An open-ended.
No, please.
That you just. I know. It's always depressing.
No, I'm going to ask my question.
Okay. Really. Yeah. Yes.
Here
you go.
This is what I'm doing every show with every guest. So you're not an exception, Dave. Give us some good news, because every time I turn around, you know, they're going like, oh, the transportation. Oh, here it comes. It's hooray! And then we're going to get. Recalls, yes, let's make sure that's impossible. And I mean, it's just,
is there any good news out there?
Just make it up. Yeah. Just lie to us.
The good news is that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Session is almost over, even under these wacky emergency rules to extend it. And we have an opportunity now to prepare for 2022. And I don't know if we have all that big of a chance on winning statewide stuff. You know, we still can. But I think our best bet is to go find good people and encourage them to run for the legislature, especially in light of redistricting. And if we put our nose to the grindstone and focus on helping them to succeed in 2022, then we could very well bring some balance back to the state house and put a check on the governor's power should he be reelected.
Well, this is, you know, to amplify your good news. From everyone I'm told, the Democrats tried to cheat in the redistrict, assuming they knew they would, and the Republicans managed, apparently, to block them. And now for the state races, there is a slight advantage to Republicans on the committee as opposed to Democrats. So your last House redistricting was a crooked deal run by the Colorado Supreme Court in violation of God knows how many laws, but we didn't sue them, of course. And so that will actually give Coloradoans a chance. But forget the good candidates. We don't want good candidates. We want ballot harvesters. That's all we want. We want government measures and ballot harvesters.
David, thank you. I won't make you talk about the Doberman Pinschers. Thank you. Thank you for your time and your explanation. Keep up the good fight.
Yeah,
we sure
job.
Appreciate it.
We love you, Dave.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Love
all
him.
Right. This is from Jacob. Oh, yeah. You know, Sandra is saying the marijuana taxes are supposed to pay for the roads. Again,
oh,
it's
yeah, that's right.
Leo is like, the RTD line to Boulder will be done about 5 years after I die. You know, they don't want us to go anywhere. They want us to live in high density things, like you said, sitting home with our mask, and that's about it. Hey, that is going to wrap it up for today. Thanks.
So sit home and you're at home. Keep your mask on and listen to us.
And listen to us. There you go.
You'll be all set.
You'll be all set. If you miss anything, chuckandjulie.com. You can get all of the podcasts there. We're on all of the platforms.
All the world.
All over the universe. There's some, I don't even know what they all are anymore, but you should, no excuse for not
no
finding
excuse.
Us.
Wherever we're banned, we pop up in another.
That's right. We're on Rumble as well. We're on YouTube. Please like us and subscribe to us. Thanks, Thomas, for running the board there. I'll be gone on Wednesday. It's going to be the Chuck and Ben show.
Chuck and Ben.
Chuck and Ben, also known as the other guy, getaway driver.
Chuck and the other guy. Chuck and the other guy. We're doing the show on Wednesday. And then
it should be interesting. All right, guys. Have a great couple of days to Wednesday. We'll see you then. Thank you.
Bye-bye.